Hit. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Hard at Work and Creating an Impactful Legacy. And I have my guest today, again, is Manpreet. He said, hey, I want to talk about some new things I'm working on. And I said, okay, sure, let's do it. So welcome, Manpreet. And you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, Mary. Thank you for having me again. It's wonderful to be here again, just like last time. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Manpreet. I spoke to Mary a year ago, almost a year ago. We did our first podcast where I talked about choices. My work life has been more on IT services. That was my first dream. Mm-hmm. But 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, I realized that, you know, it wasn't getting me any more juice. All the juice I could have gotten in 20 years, I've gotten out of it, and I'm still alive. So making sure I don't die with the music still in me, I started to explore. And this is part of this, me letting the music out. So I'm more finding the things that work for me, looking at people's experiences, getting mentored by both, the world-class leaders and the spiritual leaders. So I'm sort of on the trying to combine what I can learn from the most successful people and what mystics and sages have taught for years, and find wisdom that I can use for myself. And as it works for myself, then I am called upon to share it with others, because it's just, you know, you cannot just keep that goal. When you see the goal, you have to talk about the goal.
Right. Yeah. And I know that Manpreet talked about the values, how our values lead us. And then also the fear that stops us from living our values, or maybe the fear of moving ahead to whatever it is that we want out of life. Right. To find that joy, that, you know, laughter, that joy, that fulfillment. So I'd love to hear your thoughts about the values and what you think fear is, and all those great things that, you know, we're all searching for, but sometimes we just haven't found them yet. And some of us need more guidance or experience or stories to help us explore.
Like you rightly said, all of us are in that boat of seeking. We are seekers. We are finding one thing to the other. That's why when you get your first job, it feels like this is all you want, and then the promotion, the next one. It's never enough, because as a human beings, we want it all. We don't want it like one or two things. We want it all that we can. And that seeking is how we expand. We are always expanding our consciousness, our desires. And somewhere in the middle comes fear. And fear is, something that we learn as we grow up. They say, the science says, we are only born with two fears, the fear of noise. And there's another fear. But rest of the fears we learn through our life. Some we learn in this lifetime. And if you're somebody spiritual, you will recognize your previous lifetimes or your generations of your parents, their parents, the fear gets passed on through the DNA. And if you look into fear closely, what fear is, for fear to exist, you need to have two things. One is, the fear is always about the time, right? And that time is usually in future. What do I mean by that? It's about something that can happen in future. So it's related to time, and that time is future. You're not afraid of something that happened 10 years ago. Now, you may be afraid of it happening again, but what has happened has happened. You're not afraid of it for that particular 10 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 1 week ago. That moment passed.
Right.
You're going to be afraid of it happening again, or something that is going to happen new, but it's always going to be future. If it's future, the first clue is it's uncertain, right?
Right.
Nobody can guarantee, you know, me and you can sit down with those balls or magic wands, but none of us can predict what that future can be. Mm-hmm. Right? We are building so many models, the technology, the AI, it's all trying to predict that future, what the future is, but we don't know. So the first clue about fear is that it is not like anything else. It's not guaranteed, even though it may be indicating something in the future, just realizing that, okay, there's a chance it might not happen because mm-hmm. it's related to time. Mm-hmm. So that sort of allows you to breathe into air, have a little bit more calmer reaction or a response to that fear.
Yeah.
The second thing to recognize about fear is it usually needs somebody else. You cannot be fearful just by yourself, right? Mary cannot be afraid of Mary. There is something needs to happen. Somebody else needs to come into the picture. That creates fear. And that somebody else usually is somebody who is more powerful than you, right? You wouldn't be afraid of a 5-year-old kid, right? So that's how we operate. That's how our psyche operates, that we need, for fear to exist, it needs time, which mm-hmm. is in future, and it needs somebody else to be in that equation that is usually bigger than ourself, or we perceive bigger than us. Mm-hmm. For example, if you're anticipating a salary increment or your annual appraisal meeting, you might be afraid of going into the meeting thinking that they may not need you. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind, these are the ways fear can show up, or they may not give you what you deserve. But it's, in this instance, if you see, it's about future, it's going to happen. It's not yet happened. Or maybe you are walking into that moment, but it has not happened. So mm-hmm. you cannot predictively 100% say that it's going to happen unless somebody's already told you. And in this example, that person who is giving your appraisal, your boss, is somebody in authority who has power to do that in that position, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why you're afraid. It could not be somebody that reports into you and say, okay, boss, I'm going to cut your 10%. It's never going to happen. So it's always going to be somebody higher. Now, the thing is, I've been there. I don't know about you, Mary, but yeah, I've been so many times. I've been both sides of the equation where I have walked into the meetings where I knew that it's not going to be the what I want. Like, I wanted something, but I was so afraid that they're going to cheat me that actually they cheated me because I created with that fear. And there has been times when I walked into the meetings that I knew that what I wanted, and I knew if they didn't give me that, I'll walk out of the meetings. And so I'll give you examples of both. One time I walked into a meeting where, right out where it was being decided, they were asking me to reduce my rate. I was a contractor consulting, and they were asking me to reduce my rate because they didn't have budget. They had a little bit of work, but they didn't have budget to pay that.
Yeah.
So I had a choice to make going into the meeting. I knew it before the meeting. I had a choice whether I accept that cut, stay there, ensuring that I have work. I could be in fearful position and done that, or just say, okay, this is what it is. This is my rate. And if you don't have budget, sorry, I have to find somebody who has the budget.
Right.
And I chose the later one. In that instance, I walked out. My the person I was reporting into told me no hard feelings. And I was afraid in that moment. I was afraid that was the outcome. But the thing was, I was not ready to give up my worth, because I knew that was market. I knew within myself that I could get it somewhere else. You know, it wasn't like if the position where, you know, I felt like if I didn't do this, I'm gonna die, right? Literally, when you make decision out of fear, is like you feel like you're gonna die if you do not accept and agree to those people. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks later, they called me back all of a sudden they had new budget because they had new project, and they asked me to work. And I said, I need 18% raise now. And they paid me because A, they had work. And I told them that it's what they were paying me earlier, 2 weeks earlier, was a rate that was 2 years older. Mm-hmm. So they could have kept paying me that. But the fact that they let me go, explore the market, I don't know what my new rate is. So I had a choice. I mean, if I would have given in fear, I would have cut down 10%. And also, it's not about the money. The money is just the end result. It's how you would have felt. Like, I walked out of that meeting feeling stronger. I felt fear. It wasn't that I was afraid. I didn't have any second work lined up. I felt like, what if I have all those, what if I don't find work? What if this? I heard people saying, hey, you should have stayed it. You know, you've worked here longer. You could have just given them that discount. All those things were going on, but there was something more visible, which is what is aligned with your values, knowing your worth, is that you can have fear. It's not that fear will always go away in your life. You'll always have fear of something. Mm-hmm. But recognizing what is fear and what is your worth, what your value is, and where you lean more into, mm-hmm. is what gives you freedom. For me, it was freeing that I stood for what my value was, right? Even if I had to be out of work for 2 weeks, which I made up in no time, right?
So
that is what fear is. It's just about future, about somebody higher authority. And the reason I talk about these two things is because once you recognize it's about future, it's about authority, it gives you room, a permission to play with it, that, it's not that big. It's just, you know, something with future that I can work with, and it's not guaranteed to bring whatever results it's telling you it can bring. Mm-hmm. Right?
I wonder, because what you're talking about, fear and knowing your value, are they one of the same, or do you think there's something a little bit different?
They're different. They are related, but they're different. Mm-hmm. Your value is knowing yourself, like what excites you. Your value is, I found my value was, is asking me this question, that if there was $1 million in my account, mm-hmm. what would I do? How would I act? And what kind of people I would want to work with? What kind of people I would love to have in my life? And what kind of life I would be living, right? Because there's so much burden of money that we have created, that for human beings, we have created this burden that we need to have money. Okay, yeah. So that money cloud overpowers your values. It clouds your judgment of your own values. You don't know what mm-hmm. your value is because you're always operating off carrying that money. But if money was not an issue, then you start to go deeper and find out, okay, who would I be then? Would I work for the same boss? Would I work for the same customers? Would I live with the same people? Would I live in the same location? And if not, then what, right? What is it? Mm-hmm. I'd be more kind. I'll spend more time with my family. I'll be more focused on my exercise, my diet, and all that. If those are the things, and those things make you happy, those are your ultimate things, those are your values, then you start to recognize, okay, that is what I want. This mm-hmm. money, whole job, whatever it is, it's just what I think is going to get me there. But my beingness, who I am at my core, is those things. That is what I'm attracting to. And when I know what I'm attracting to, I don't have to have it just the one way, mm-hmm. right? If mm-hmm. I want, if my value is kindness, if my value is helping people, if my value is serving, and, you know, once I have taken care of myself that I want to serve, then maybe IT is not my path anymore, right? Because mm-hmm. I knew I can only impact in my IT field the limited areas. It's just one customer at a time, and that too, I don't pick, my work picks. So it's not getting aligned with what I want to do in my life, because I can see that I am making my ends meet. I am no longer, you know, I'm not in a position where I'm just making my ends meet. I have enough where I can now go and do things that excite my soul. And, you know, people call it purpose. People will call it what you were born to do. But I feel like it's just finally recognizing what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And instead of finding that happiness long way around, finding the shortest way to that happiness or whatever that fulfillment is. Because, you know, thinking about when I get that promotion, when I get that $1 million, when I marry that person, when I have that relationship, that's when I'm going to be happy. I think it's a very steep slope. It's never going to reach.
Kind of there. A false belief, right?
Yeah. So value is long answer, but value is who you really are. Mm-hmm. Not who you think you are, who you really are. So right. There's a difference. We have so much false beliefs, perceptions of who we are, but your value is when you align to who you really are. Mm-hmm. You don't care about the money. Like, because when you know who you really are, you know you're here, you're born, you're going to die. And in between there is a click, right? And, you know, it's like when you go to a holiday somewhere, mm-hmm. right? Do you take everything you can, or you just take limited?
Just take what limited.
Limited, right? And you go and you are trying to enjoy everything in that holiday, right? You're trying to get the best food. You're trying to get, you know, the best of the beaches. You're trying to relax. You're trying to get maximize in that period. Mm-hmm. We do with our life. We are here temporary, right? We're going to go and flick.
Yeah.
But yet we are like, I have time.
Yeah.
So, and I don't mean by hurrying, but just recognizing that if we knew you're temporary, if we knew, and this is as I speak, this is for me, Sue, because I forget.
Yeah.
Is that if I knew that I'm temporary, that tomorrow, one day I'm going to die, what that XYZ person said to me, whether they paid me the bonus I wanted or not, does not matter, because I cannot take it with me anyways, right? I'm going to die. So that fear of, you know, the ultimate fear is fear of death. But if you could, you know, trickle down all the fears, why, oh, what if I lose my job? What happens? You're going to get on street. What happens if you get on street? People may not like me. People don't like you. What happens? I may not live up to my own expectation. Then what happened? Then what happens? If you go down, ultimately you're afraid of getting getting dead. And the truth is, we're going to die. So when you get to that place that you're going to die, it's like, okay, maybe I need to focus on my values, forget the fear, because it's not getting me where I want to go.
Yeah, it's sort of what I'm saying, what I say to people. Well, we're all going to die, but how well are we living now?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, in the spiritual wisdom, my tradition, Sikh tradition, and I'm not trying to impart Sikhism or anything. I'm just trying to impart wisdom. It aligns with spirituality, you want to call it. I'm just saying what I believe in. Mm-hmm. If you like it, take it, but you can always feel free to ignore it. In this Sikh spiritual tradition, when the teachers were laying out sort of a way of life, and I think that's similar in Christianity, the first thing they said, if you want to learn about love, right? If you want to learn about life and love, whatever you want to call it, they interchange it and use it. First, you need to learn how to die. Because if you can learn to die while you're alive, and by dying means killing your ego, by killing your fear, if you can die and give up, like, what is fear? If I give up that, my control, like, my fear is, if I am not in control, I'm afraid I'm going to lose everything. That's one fear, right? Mm-hmm. If I am not in control, that's fear. Yeah. Or my ego is, I got to have it all. If I am able to give both of those two things and die that death now, Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to die every day where somebody else will be controlling and saying, okay, do this, or I'm going to cut your pay, do this, or I'm going to fire you, do this, or you cannot have that. That only happens because I'm always afraid of losing that lack. But when right. you realize, okay, the worst is death, the really worst case scenario is death. That is the ultimate thing. Like, beyond that, nobody knows. Like, people can say hell or heaven or whatever, but nobody knows beyond what that it is. That then you're okay. I can do with this short holiday I have here on earth and do something with my values that are, you know, calling me to do something. That, you know, the one of the ways that you recognize your values is when you are feeling uneasy, when you're feeling something, squeezing your soul or heart, that pain, that means you're not aligned to your value. That means you're doing something you do not internally. You may not recognize what that value is, but the fact that you're suffering is an indicator that you are not aligned to whatever your value is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And people try to overcome suffering without realizing the suffering is the lesson. You need to look into the suffering. Why are you suffering? Underneath the suffering is your value. And when you are able to recognize that value and bring it light to it, you're not in suffering. That doesn't mean, it doesn't mean you will be a millionaire, you'll be rich, but you are aligned with your values, and that will give you so much happiness and joy and peace that you don't care about those worldly things. And they will come to you naturally because you're not operating from lack anymore. Like it's going to that dating scenario when you need the girl you want or need the partner. Being needy, you're unable to attract that person. The minute you're not needy, the person comes to you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like money. When you don't need it, it comes.
Yeah, anything. Because when you operate from lack, neediness, then, you know, your vibration or the frequency is so low that you cannot attract that higher thing. You're needing that higher thing. But in order for you to attract that in your life, you have to get to that vibration. And when you get to the vibration, you don't really need it. It's already there. Yeah. It just shows up.
Yeah,
matching that vibration.
Yeah. So, you mentioned that you're starting a boot camp or something to help people.
Yes.
Release the fear, whatever it is that's going on for them. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm using my own life experiences and learning from the spiritual wisdom and the mentors. One of the things I realized, a lot of things that I was not doing in my life was due to fear.
Mm-hmm.
One was fear. One was this feeling of lack that I always felt like, I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. Whether it was due to comparison, but I felt that I lacked that. I felt that I lacked being somebody like Maya Angelou, who could speak so eloquently. I felt like, you know, I didn't have any talents. I always operated from that lack. So I kept, in order to escape from that lack, I kept working hard on the IT space.
Right.
And, you know, no wonder I was suffering. So I want to share with people the lessons I learned and how I pulled myself out of it. And, you know, I want to share those lessons and things that can help somebody if recognize their fears, face those fears, which I, as I said, the biggest fear of all is fear of death, and being able to accept that into your life is a huge one. So I'm going to work with people. So we're going to have a 6 weeks, boot camp where we're going to go through every week. We're going to pick up a subject. We're going to work. We're going to have exercises, group exercises. And I don't want to call it homework, heart work.
You have to work
on your heart, inner things, and go do it on yourself. And but the other side of those 6 weeks would be, you'll be more free. You will be able to face the fear. You will have the fear, you'll recognize the fear, but you'll be able to do what is aligned with your own value rather than taking actions from that fear. And then, you know, finding your purpose, like, I don't want to call it purpose, but really getting aligned your own worth, your own values. So you're able to live more fully. You are able to accept life more fully into you, right? You are able to receive more fully, because one of the reasons people who are not living fully are attracting fully, even they say that they want all those things and not getting those things, is because somewhere there is lack, somewhere there is fear, somewhere there is misalignment. And so I'm just excited to work with these people who want to, you know, take this path and work with themselves, own themselves, so that they can have a life free of all that unworthiness and lack that they've been given or they have accumulated through their own life.
Yeah, fear is a big issue. And like you're saying, you keep thinking down there. At a scale, if you have fear and you have a joy, enlightenment, you know, it's a big difference, right? So you're just wanting to help people get out of the fear and into the joy and into the, their fulfillment of their life. So they're feeling more powerful within themselves, right?
Yeah.
More inner reflection.
So I'm not claiming that I'm going to help you get out of the fear, but I am going to enable you enough that you're able to look into the fear and recognize this is the fear, and then decide whether you want to operate from that fear or you're aligned with your values and love and higher vibrational things. You know, because a lot of times we don't even recognize when we are operating from fear, because it's just so ingrained in us. It's so natural to be fearful.
Right. So who would you like to have attend your boot camp?
The people, I guess women are more attracted. That's what I've seen from my work, but could be somebody who is feeling stuck, is not feeling fulfilled, maybe makes enough money but still not happy, maybe has relationships that are not happy, or maybe somebody who know they can do more in their life, they can make more money, they can get promotions, but somebody else gets their promotions, somebody else is getting their girlfriends, somebody else is getting their houses, like they see what they desire but somebody else has it and they don't have, so they always have this lack that there is, you know, lacking. So those people who want to explore that fear and uncover the real value, real person who they are inside, is for them. And I'm inclusive. I could be women, it could be men. I'm excited and equally curious to see what that age group looks like. This is first time I'm doing this mastermind. I've done some spiritual workshops earlier. When I say spiritual, I use meditation as part of it, because I believe meditation allows you to see and work, see your inner self more clearly than any other tool does. I'm just open to see what it brings.
Okay. So you said it starts May 1st, right?
Yes, May 1st.
Okay, so I guess we'll put a link below the video where people can sign up and partake in your boot camp. And I'm sure that they'll get so much value out of it and release that fear or whatever that anxiety is that is within them, so that they can live a much fuller life. So, yeah.
Great. Yes.
Well, thank you, Manpreet, to being on my show. I so appreciate it. And I'm sure that everybody who listens will get a lot of juice out of it. So thank you.
Mary, thank you for having me. It's always wonderful to come.
Oh, thank you for joining me again. I'm so delighted to chat with you again. Okay, take care, everybody, and be kind to each other, because that's all we have. Okay, take care. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.